off short, so.
Yes. Somebody still just dropped their coffee. They're like, oh! Yeah, good morning to you lovely, lovely people out there.
Good morning, everybody in the Twitterverse and everybody else as well. Good morning to you,
my ginger.
Where are my biscuits? I'm hungry, people.
I'm just hyper. I'm full of all kinds of lovely legal chemicals. I would like to point out they're legal. I got some green tea.
Sure they are.
Oh, I got my green tea. I got me a nice banana for some potassium. I got some vitamins, and I got some five-hour energy, and I am ready to take on the world.
Whoops, we're taking on the world. Yeah, we need to do that, man.
As we are this morning.
Yes. I'm a little bit tired to be taking on the world. I went to bed at a decent hour, too, and I'm still just...
I would just... First of all, say you're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. In case you didn't know where you were, and I am my Ginger today, or my Corey?
I think you're Corey.
All right, I'm Corey, and that lady over there is Ginger.
Yay!
I also like to point out that some of you yesterday with the Valentine's Day stuff, so ghetto. No, please do not sell baskets out of the back of your van, your creepy looking van.
I'm trying to think. Did I go? No. I stayed home yesterday. I was like, I am avoiding the mad rush of people who waited until the last minute to buy stuff. I went out and had dinner. I went out and had pizza with somebody.
I was out Monday night at Walmart, and there was a mad rush, but you know what? Everybody was actually being nice to each other. I went down the aisle where the Valentine's candies and things were, and everybody was kind of standing around discussing which one was the best price one and which candies were nasty and, ooh, don't get these because your boyfriend slash girlfriend won't like those. And so everybody was kind, and, you know, I was in and out in a matter of seconds. But the ghetto that got me again was I was driving down the street, and I don't know about other cities, but here usually holidays always somebody sells something. They're taking advantage of you last-minute people on the side of the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But most times it's done in such a way that it still looks – professional, but this right here looks like this guy was trying to lure people to his raggedy, shoddy van so that he could pull you inside and kidnap you. The back.
Wow. And yeah, people don't be buying from that guy. That guy's kind of creepy.
Yeah, most people will usually take the things out of their vehicle and they bring a table and they just kind of...
Yeah, exactly. Do not get near the cars.
Yeah, it's illegal to do so. I would like to say that you're not supposed to have any type of roadside business here without a permit, but the police look the other way. People got to make their money. You know, economy is doing better, but it's not great. But you don't need to keep them inside your van where people can see them. I was like, God, he looks like he's just going to kidnap somebody. And he's standing there with his hands in his pockets. You could have at least put on something to ease the mind of the people passing by. A nice Valentine's shirt, something, a hat. You just look like, ugh. I was like, I don't know where you got those baskets from. I don't know if that's like a facade in your truck that looks like you got baskets. And when I get up there, you're going, no, I don't think.
Stuff me in there? No, thank you. You're not turning me into some sort of pastry.
I am a pastry, but I don't want to be eaten that way. Anyway.
Never mind.
All right. So lots of new and interesting things going on this morning. Our peoples over at VentureBeats have a new site this morning, and we may have one by this afternoon. But I got to tell y'all, VentureBeat, I don't think I'm liking this new layout. This looks like something that we do.
Yeah.
Then I change. Like we do, and then I change it. So
she changes it all the time.
I do. I change up our site.
I like to call Blaster and tell Blaster to pick on you.
Oh God! And he sure will. Corey, what are you doing? Corey, what are you doing? What are you doing to the site? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Blaster.
He can't stop me, but he can sure harass me while it goes on. Okay.
All right. So you going first, or I'm going first?
Go right on ahead. Go right on ahead.
All right, you Metal Gear fans. Are you ready? GamePolitics.com, Metal Gear Online closing in June. Another game bites the dust.
What?
Yep. All right. Yeah. Konami announced that it will pull the plug on Metal Gear Online on June 12th. The first phase of this shutdown will be the closure of the Metal Gear Online shop on March 21st. The only silver lining for fans is that all expansions in the store will become free April 24th until the game shuts down completely in the summer. Also beginning on April 24th, gamers will not be able to register characters. Metal Gear Online launched in 2008 on the same date as Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots was released.
I didn't even know there was a Metal Gear Online.
Yeah. Online Shooter amassed more than 1 million worldwide users. So for all of you people who are stragglers and still playing there, I'm so sorry, your game is dead. I have had that happen to me before, and I know how horribly, utterly disappointed I was.
All right. I got a short one and then another short one. Another end of something. Sony Japan is saying they will cease to deliver new comic book content for the PSP to the PlayStation Store on March 15th, and the service will close altogether in September.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah, well, the news comes via GI.biz and Andrea Song, which also reported that Sony planned to offer the digital comic content in some other way. Now, while the comics tab will disappear from the Japanese PlayStation Store, the comic reader app will still be available until the end of the year, and those who purchase comics will be able to download them until then. Wait a minute, I got to sneeze. Sorry.
I'll mute it. It's all like, bless you, and you couldn't hear me.
I have to mute. Blow out some eardrums there in case you... heard me sneeze. Yeah, I'll blow out your eardrums. In July last year, the U.S. and European PlayStation stores saw their last comic store update. Although the 4,000 existing comics are still available, Sony have yet to confirm whether or not the comics service will come to Vita. But at the time of the announcement, the official PlayStation blogs reported that the digital comics team are now working on bringing the comic service to other Sony devices. So they're not completely gone, just moving, apparently.
But off the PSN.
Yeah, but we never got it over here anyway, which I think probably would have benefited them greatly if they had, you know, done a cross-market thing. Although I am not a big comics person. I have my one or two comics that I like, which is I loved the Daredevil Frank Miller's version. I actually read that, and I have been trying to read Scott Pilgrim as of late. I bought it for somebody else, and now I'm trying to read it, the graphic novel. But not a big comics fan. By the way, that Kevin Smith book about, I'm not liking it at all.
Why not?
I just don't like it. I don't know if it's because it's not because it's a comic show. It's because it kind of has no rhyme or reason.
But you know, like, you worried about that when you heard about it. So.
I did, and I know there's a lot of comic fans that they love Kevin Smith and, you know, what he's done for comics, but I don't think this needed a show, honestly. I think he should have stuck to his podcast. Kevin, this is not something that's going to keep me coming back. I was not intrigued by anything. It kind of looks like they're trying to be a mix of a talk radio show with a dash of Pawn Stars in it. They're going out finding these comic finds and then saying, ooh, you know, look at, you know, what we found. It's worth this much.
That does not sound amusing. I'm so sorry, people.
It doesn't. Even for somebody, it kind of comes across as elitist. You know, if you don't know about comics and you start watching the show, it's not like they're explaining to you, you know, what does this mean? Yeah, you found an original something by such and such comic artist, but the average comic book person that's not a comic book person has no idea who that is or why you're so excited that you found it. And that's part of why reality shows do well, is because they kind of bring you into a situation maybe you've not seen before, and then they explain to you, you know, what this means. You know, if you never watched Top Model, you go back and you watch the first season, they start explaining to you, well, this is what makes a good picture, this is what makes a bad picture, this is what we expect models to act like in this situation, and this is what you have to act like in this situation. And that's why the shows stay on, because after a while you start becoming sort of an expert. Yeah, I know this is a bad picture, this is a good picture, and oh, that model, she's going home today because she did this. And Real Housewives, I don't particularly care for the show, but when mm-hmm. you're watching, they're explaining to you, even if you just walk in the middle, this is what's happening and this is why this is important. And there was none of that there. And I couldn't follow any type of cohesiveness through the show. You know, there's usually some type of story there somewhere, but there was no story at all, other than they were competing to see who could sell the most something. And I never figured out what it was they were selling. So, Kevin, I'm going to say, wah-wah, I won't be watching it again. You ruined my extra time I had to watch Talking Dead after the Walking Dead.
I thought it was going to be like some kind of actual, I don't know, funny thing, but that doesn't sound funny.
I thought there was something going on in the shop that he owns that was going to be like, you know, how are we keeping it open? And I don't know. Kevin, not good. Another show, and then I'm going to skip my other story because I'm taking up most of the time here talking about these two. remembered. I wanted to talk about them yesterday, but I forgot. There's two shows that are on Oprah's network that are about geeks, geek love.
Ooh, yay. We love us some geeks.
We do, but I'm really not liking it on Oprah's network because, as y'all know, if you are not a geek and you try to be in our world.
Did they girly it up?
No,
like
but
in a bad way.
It was just they only showed one sect of geekery. We all know there's many of us. We all
oh, there are
geek,
so many.
Yeah, we all fall under the geek moniker. But what they, the geeks that they grabbed was a Comic-Con one, and I think there was a PAX one of somebody trying to find love at Comic-Con, and they said geek love. Well,
speaking of that, I'm so sorry. I've got to go off on a little tangent. All right, listen up, you geek girls who I'm playing games with. If I am gaming with you in any game, I don't care what game it is, you are a geek. Right along with me. So do not be crying that some guy, a geek guy, was hitting on me. Oh, my God. Da, da, da. You're playing a video game. You're going to find.
Hey, I'm happy when they get on me.
Short little, my short little rant. Somebody was griping that, oh, this geek was hitting on me. You're in a video game.
You're a geek.
What do you think? Yes, you're a geek. You're a geek right alongside the rest of us.
You,
don't be trying to hide it. Don't try to deny it.
They, anyway.
Yeah. I'm not a geek. Yes, you are. You're playing a video game.
Tell them, Ginger. Well, I don't know what that's about. Some girls seem to think because they're, I don't know. I can't even.
I don't know.
But I will tell you people out there this much, Oprah, stop with the geeky shows. She did a documentary. The documentary was good, but you probably need to step away from the geek. Seriously.
Yeah.
We need our own network.
Yes, yes, we do.
We need our own network back. G4 is obviously dead and not coming back. So we need our own thing. And it does not need to be on OWN. Oprah, you are not one of us. You are not Borg.
We love you, Oprah. Don't get us wrong, but yeah.
You are not one of us. Oprah, you're not one of us. Okay.
All right, my turn to you. I got bad news. This is just like the morning for bad news. First, I tell you you're a geek, and then, you know,
it is
I tell you about games. Yeah.
It is a hump.
Gazillion to close Fortune Online this month. I've never even heard of this, so. Online game developer Gazillion Entertainment will shut down its free-to-play action RPG Fortune Online. The game, which went into open beta in June of last year, didn't last very long for whatever reasons. I'm thinking because nobody heard of it. Gazillion told Gamasutra this morning that shutting down Fortune Online will enable the company to put focus squarely on creating new content for Marvel Super... Oh, sorry. I should not have candy in my mouth. All right. So they said that shutting down Fortune Online will enable the company to put its focus squarely on creating new content for Marvel Superhero Squad Online and for development of the upcoming MMO Marvel Heroes. The company also announced via the official website for Fortune Online that all subscribers will be refunded and money spent on in-game purchases they have made. The closure has certainly been fast-tracked with plans to shut servers down as soon as, oh my God, February 29th. That is quick. Gazillion did not say if it plans on laying off any employees associated with the game or if they would be moved to its two Marvel-themed titles. Now, stop me if I'm wrong, but weren't we hearing a couple weeks ago about, I think it was this Marvel game, about there being some kind of lawsuit? You had, like, the whole DC Universe and all of that fun stuff.
There's always Marvel DC stuff. They were mad at City of Heroes, and this one started their own game. And
yeah, but I was saying there was something specific with the whole Marvel name that they were trying to fight over.
I don't even remember. We had so many fights. We'll circle back around to it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, your new one experienced the one didn't.
All right. Oof.
You okay?
Did I just sniffle?
Yeah, she did make a weird noise.
I'm sorry, y'all aren't supposed to hear that. I am trying to breathe over here. Lovely weather we're having this morning. Don't you love it? All right. So
no, I don't. It was snowy 2 days ago. Yesterday it was, I don't know, upper 60s here. And today it's probably in the 70s. It's ridiculous.
It is. It's very hot today, which is killing my allergies. All right. One Mr. Fred Wilson, who's a very influential New York investor, is speaking out this morning about the anti-piracy bill from SOPA.
Uh-huh.
He was worried that it would threaten the sites he considered legitimate, like Reddit or Tumblr, which is backed by his firm Union Ventures. But it seems Greg Sandoval is reporting that Wilson said yesterday he supports the idea of an independent body which would create a blacklist for known pirate sites. He says, if we created an independent body that essentially created a blacklist and a whitelist, Wilson told a crowd of media execs at the Pelley Center in New York, the blacklist are those sites we all know are bad news. We all know who the good guys are, and we are truly licensed and other operating, who are truly licensed and are operating legitimately. We know who the bad guys are. CNET reports that Wilson named Hulu, Netflix, Radio, Spotify, and Rhapsody among the good guys. And, of course, CNET is reporting it because CNET's one of the bad guys, although they don't want to come across as such. The tech industry and the entertainment industry have very different ideas of what a pirate site looks like. If they had both equal representation on this independent body, perhaps they could agree on the most obvious villains. Wilson suggested services like Mega Upload, Pirate Bay, and the various BitTorrent sites as the kind of sites that would be on the blacklist. Technology would be trying to know that they're doing something bad and that they could do something that's good. You know what? You may be a very influential investor, Fred Wilson, but you are a dumbass. But piracy is never that black and white. Tumblr, which Union Square Ventures invested in, certainly doesn't fall under the category of good guys who are truly licensed. Emphasis his. Instead, it's a freewheeling community where users often post copyrighted music and images. While you can argue that it falls under the DMCA safe harbor passage by Congress, while you can argue
that
it
haven't seemed to learn to not do that yet.
I don't know why. Anyway, it seems that they fall under the DMCA Safe Harbor Act passed by Congress. It isn't a pirate site looking to profit by distributing tons of illegal content. It is home to many blogs that distribute links to full downloads of new albums. Yes, not too surprising. Wilson said at a conference recently, we got to fix the system so that the content is available legally on the internet in a way that it is available for people to consume it. As convenient as turning on your TV and watching HBO, that's how convenient it has to be. The content industry has not made this content convenient to access on the internet, and as a result, everybody, and I mean everybody, is a pirate. Okay, so in the world where everybody is breaking the law, you got to look at the law. Is it the right law? I would agree with him on that. Because everybody, even though some people think they aren't pirating stuff, sometimes you are doing things you don't understand that you're stealing something. But I don't agree with him with the good and bad list because, you know, that kind of falls under a whole bunch of extremist categories. I could say witch hunt. You're a witch and you're not. If you're not a witch, then you'll float when we kill you. No, so this is not going to work. A list of pointing out who's bad because what people are considering bad on one hand. Not necessarily illegal. Just because I have a file sharing service and people are putting up illegal things on it doesn't make me necessarily bad. It's the person who's using it, and that's where we're having a problem. That's like accusing the jewelry store that the thieves stole the jewelry from of being thieves as well, because they didn't, you know, they let the thieves come in.
Yes.
So it's idiotic, some of the things we have.
I agree.
So I'm trying to breathe. Let me breathe, Texas.
No, right? All right, well, since you mentioned witch hunt.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Bear with me. I may trip over some of these words. Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, for PlayStation 3, coming to Europe, fully localized in the first quarter of 2013.
Whoop!
All right, looks like the epic Japanese role-playing masterwork to include Japanese and English voices with English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish subtitles. Alright, so Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch is a heartwarming tale of a young boy called Oliver who embarks on a journey into a parallel world to become a magician in an attempt to bring his mother back from the dead. See, people, this is never good, never good. You never bring people back from the dead. Not good. Along the way, Oliver makes new friends and adopts many of the wonderful creatures that inhabit the world, raising them to battle other creatures on his behalf as he takes on formidable enemies. The unique fantasy adventure is developed by Level 5, the studio behind the smash hits Dragon Quest 8.
Where was the first?
8 and 9.
Where's the first seven Dragon Quest? Because I don't remember them.
Not got a clue.
Mm-hmm.
They're also the people behind Professor Layton series. For the game's characters and animations, Level 5 collaborated with the legendary Studio Ghibli, the team responsible for countless anime masterpieces, including My Neighbor Totoro, Castle in the Sky, and Spirited Away. All right, so I've got more information up on GameStation.com this morning. If you head over there and check it out, you can see all of this wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right, so remember all the controversy we were telling you about Australia and their rating system?
Yes.
Okay, so they're going to introduce a new rating come next year. The Australian government, according to GI.biz, said they could introduce an adults-only rating for games into law as early as January 1st of next year. According to a report on Player Attack, the legislation for an R18 plus category has been prepared by the Minister for Home Affairs and the Minister for Justice, Jason Clare. I love their titles, the Minister. At present, the highest age rating available in Australia is MA15 plus for games to be deemed suitable for nobody under the age of 15. However, this has resulted in a number of violent games being actively banned by being refused classification. The R18 plus rating will bring games into line with the country's policy on films. The R18 plus category will inform consumers, parents, and retailers about which games are not suitable for minors to play and will prevent minors from purchasing unsuitable material, said Clare in a recent statement. The bill has been introduced to the lower house of the Australian Parliament, which will then discuss the measures suggested. However, the amendments are so simple and public support is so strong that the bill is expected to pass with little resistance. Australia's individual territories will be free to implement their own legislation. I like that you guys are doing this. It took you long enough.
Yes.
They lost a lot of companies that way, though. A lot of companies left Australia, which I'm sure influenced the decision to include this rating. Now they just need themselves an ESRB over the pond, because ESRB, you need to be international and, you know, in every country. I don't think everybody needs to have the exact same rating, because what we need is, you know, highly sexual may not be so in those territories. But you do need a version there that understands, you know, this right here is not good, this shouldn't be in this game, blah, blah, blah. So get it together.
Get it together. It shouldn't be that hard, people.
Get it together, ESRB, and get you some peoples over the ponds and get it done so we can stop having all these SOPA things popping up.
Yes, yes, yes. Get this stuff taken care of. It's about time, people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What have we got? There's so much news this morning, but this is kind of good. I've done a lot of bad stuff, so I'm going to do some good stuff. This is a little bit long.
Too easy.
I'll try to.
Too
yeah. Easy. Able Gamers Foundation President wins Hearn Award.
Yay!
That's so awesome. Mark Bartlett, the president and co-founder of the Able Gamers Foundation charity, has been honored with the Paul G. Hearn Award for Leadership Excellence. Bartlett was one of the two individuals given the prestigious award for demonstrating excellence in leadership. The annual award gives two individuals who show excellent leadership and advocacy skills in the disability community $10,000 to further their organization's efforts and a chance to meet with other leaders in national organizations at the reward dinner held March 21st at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center in Washington, D.C. All right, so what does Mr. Bartlett have to say? He says, "Words cannot express how honored I am to receive the Hearn Award. I see this not as recognition of myself, but as further proof of the importance of video games in the lives of those in the disabled community. I hope this raises the level of awareness for everyone fighting to get more accessibility options included in digital entertainment." Bartlett continues, "To have a national-level disability rights organization like the AAPD recognize the work of the Able Gamers Foundation confirms that we are heading in the right direction, and that video games are now part of everyday life, including the lives of the disabled." That is kind of awesome. Stephen Sloan, editor-in-chief of AbleGamers.com, says, "All of us at Able Gamers are extremely proud of Mark and his tireless work for the game accessibility cause. Video games can play such an important role in the lives of those with disabilities. We are very happy to see our efforts to get more children with disabilities and injured veterans veterans returning from war into video games being recognized as a vital part of their social and psychological support systems. This is amazing. This is awesome. Congratulations, Mark. This is
this is going to cut us for you saying his name wrong, though. You know that, right?
Bartlett?
Yes.
How am I supposed to say it?
No, not Bartlett. Steven is going to cut you for saying his name wrong.
How do I say his name wrong?
Let me see if they're on Twitter. I'm going to tell them you said his name wrong.
Spawn?
Not on Twitter, but on
Steven.
Skype. on Skype.
Steven, I shake my boobs just for you.
Oh, yeah, Steven. Yeah, I'm going to Skype him during the show.
Something. I'm sorry. It's
just FYI. Ginger just said your name wrong.
I did say phone, didn't I? Fun. I'm not quite sure how do you say your name. I'll
get her.
Sorry. Doesn't help that I can't seem to talk today. My throat like hurts.
Oh, our Ginger's sick. I'm sorry, poor Ginger. You're
this
in trouble.
This weather is killing me. I'm sorry, Steven.
Yes,
I'll touch my boobs for you. Does that make it better?
Oh, I don't know if he's Ginger. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
How about if I let Corey sit in your lap?
No, Ginger, no. Okay, so let me move along here.
Oh, see, she never lets me have any fun. She's so mean to me all the time, so mean.
No, Ginger.
I don't like no. I don't understand no.
Uh-huh. See your Skype and then respond. Don't respond accordingly. Okay, so Hulu, you see what I said to you?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Oh!
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Hulu is trying to... Well, see, I'm catching you're contagious. Hulu is planning to measure the success of their original series called Battleground without TV ratings. They're staying silent about their initial viewership of its first scripted original series, Battleground, which premiered the pilot episode on the streaming video service Monday. Battleground is a half-hour dramedy, minus the annoying laugh track, about a campaign staff who is trying to win a Wisconsin senatorial election for an underdog candidate. The show has some top-notch talent behind it, like creator, actor J.D. Walsh and producer-director Mark Webb, whose film credits include 500 Days of Summer, which I just got to see for the first time like 2 weeks ago, and the amazing Spider-Man movie. It's also one of the first high-profile series that's focused entirely on web viewership, so it will not be appearing on TV. Normally, the premiere episode of a show with this level of hype would be followed by Nielsen TV ratings along with a breakdown of the audience demographics, but because Battleground is distributed as a streaming video instead of television, it doesn't have a standard rating system. And while Hulu definitely collected plenty of data about the show, the company isn't planning to reveal the details as its policy for all the shows stream on its service. Unlike traditional TV programs, Battleground's success... Steven says to tell you he's so calling his lawyer. It is not my fault.
You made me do it. Y'all heard her.
I did not. I have nothing to do with it. I just report the news. I don't make it. When people watch a show isn't nearly as important as the show simply getting watched, a Hulu spokesperson told our peoples over at VentureBeat. Hulu said it plans on measuring the success of its original programs by the level of activity surrounding it, which includes total viewing audience, comments and discussion, social media interactions, and more. This is good for a number of reasons. It's a more accurate and honest form of ratings. I'm not going to tell you how. You can pop over there to read that if you like. New shows are less likely to get killed off prematurely because, based on TV ratings, if they're not out of the box, they usually dump you. This also allows for more creative and unique shows because people aren't so worried about having to follow a certain format before their show gets canceled. Also, Hulu, of course, is breaking ground. This is something completely new in the way of premium original programming when it obviously – which it obviously realizes, ultimately the company's success will be based on whether it's able to produce quality content that's on par with top TV network programming, Since Hulu is owned by three of the largest broadcast TV networks, yes, NBC, ABC, and Fox, it's even likely that this model could create a new standard for how shows are produced and monetized. I like the idea. I don't like who owns you. I would like to point out that though they may be breaking some new ground by being one of the first online networks, this is not the first TV show. We do have The Guild and Red vs. Blue as a series as well that we've had around for years. Both of them have been around for years, and they've had their, you know, kicked ass, so to speak. So
yeah.
Maybe Hulu needs to look at picking up those two shows. I'm just saying.
Yes, I like this idea. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got? I'm going to be cut every which way. No, I can't read that because that won't make sense to most of our American listeners. All right, I have got stories. Yay, Star Supremacy. More stuff for Star Supremacy.
Because that's what we need.
Yes. Barbara Lee Games has listened to our player feedback and is happy to share a special announcement. Star Supremacy has released some new items to help give players a boost with their colony and battles. All right, so what have we got? We've got some battle items. Firepower and Shelter increases the damage and defense of ships by 20% in certain hours. Use this item to give your opponents one dead shot. Satellite Spy and Satellite Detection, different kinds of spies. Satellite Spy is used to detect your opponent's garrison fleets, while Satellite Detection is to spy all resources in your opponent's colony. Hey, you know what? I used to play a game like this. This is getting to sound more and more like O-Game. Anybody ever play that? Anyways, all right, so...
okay, I didn't get to answer. No,
did you play? Did you play?
No, but I didn't get to answer. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We've also got Shield, a kind of powerful item that allows your colony to avoid from being attacked by others in certain hours. But keep in mind that once you attack other colonies in advance, the shield effect will disappear. Star Blessing, very powerful and almost godlike item. Recover your lost ships after battle once. Thus, players could save a large amount of resources as well as much shipbuilding time. All right, we've got some artifact items as well. New XP admixture. Double XP potions, the most efficient way to level up your commanders. And now the function has changed a little bit. The double XP effect is applied to all your commanders after using. Then there's also Liquid Foundation, not makeup people. Allows you to change rough spot into open spot.
Not makeup.
Not makeup. This players will not worry about the insufficient number of open spots. All right. What else? There are keys that open different types of treasure boxes, bronze chests, silver chests, gold chests, and titanium chests.
Enough about your undergarments, Ginger. Tell them about the game.
I know, right? All right. So I've got more information up on GameOfNatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check it out. Again, this is Star Supremacy. I want to say it's a free-to-play browser game, I think. Don't quote me.
Steven is still messing with you via Skype. He would love to stop by and talk about their recent accolades, but he's just so offended. He just doesn't know if he can come.
Steven, we would love to have you stop by and talk about those. That's so awesome. I promise to keep my hands to myself. Well, let me rephrase this. I promise to keep my hands above the desk and below the boobs.
No, ma'am. Oh, God. Okay. So, we'll see if we can get him to stop by Thursday. It should be interesting. All of us together. Oh.
Yes, because really what y'all have done is amazing. Very, very, very amazing.
I just told him I'm very proud to know them. And
yes.
I'm trying not to get teary-eyed because y'all know I love the industry, and I love when I see somebody do something so amazing and so good for members of our community that deserve the recognition. In any case, I'm going to get off this because, yes, I'm getting teary-eyed. So I'm going to tell you about Warp.
Cry, mascara will run.
I'm not wearing mascara. It's too early for mascara. It's too early for makeup. Child. Oh, that's like after 3. That's when I put on the... Okay. So EA and Trapdoor have partnered together to create Warp, which is now available for download on the XBLA for 800 Microsoft points. Let me tell you, wait a minute, I got to skip down. I do have to skip down because some of this stuff I'm not telling you about. Ha, ha, ha.
Tasty is not nice.
When I skip, there's a reason. Warp puts players in control of Zero, a lovable yet lethal little orange alien with a big score to settle. After being captured and taken prisoner in an underwater facility, Zero is subject to torturous research experiments by cruel scientists, because all scientists are cruel, of course. But Zero's powerful and deadly abilities help him break loose, and gamers must guide him through the laboratory to safety. Warp has been praised for its dynamic gameplay, giving players a choice to take bloody revenge on every human they encounter or hide. Level with no kills, like a stealth game, so it gives you the choice. Bending the traditional rules of video games, Warp features clever and intuitive puzzle-based gameplay where players decide how to traverse obstacles and combine abilities to master challenge rooms and top online leaderboards. Warp will be available on the PlayStation Network and the PC, in case you don't own an Xbox, on March 13th for a mere $9.99. Warp will also be available to our UK peoples on the PlayStation Network on the 14th of March. You can check out more info on Warp at our website, GameAndMatrix.com. Yay! Or you can check out, well, we have a link to their website. They got some cute little screenshots. He is kind of adorable.
Is he?
Yes. He is quite adorable. He's got a little antenna on top of it. He looks like a TV to me.
Interesting.
Which is very cute. Well, Ginger?
I know. There we go. In the pain, it was like stuck on the wrong one. All right, here we go. Dungeon Defenders hits 1 million downloads. Thanks, players, with free Steam Valentine's Day content. iOS sale! Yay! We love us some sales. All right, so there's no better date than a four-player co-op frenzy with your significant other and fellow couple. People, just like to tell you, Valentine's Day was yesterday. All right, so Dungeon Defenders is just the co-op experience you'll love with a brand new DLC on Steam. Team up to play the Sky O' Love challenge mission and become matchmaker by pairing boy mobs with their same species significant other girl mobs. Aw, they're so cute. But watch out, Mega Cupid isn't too happy about you doing his work for him. This event also includes a redesigned tavern, four new hero outfits, and a unique Cupid pet. And wait, the squire is finally getting pants. You know, okay. I'm thinking it's Valentine's Day. Don't you think he should be losing the pants? But anyway,
I'm going to go ahead and
yeah. To celebrate a million PC console downloads, not the pants, Trinity Entertainment will also be putting the iPhone, iPad version of Dungeon Defenders Second Wave on a week-long sale for 99 cents. All right, so I've got a trailer, and I've got some very, very lovely pictures of all this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check that out. They are very, so cute, so adorable.
I'm sorry. The squire getting pants is going to be the new thing. Okay. I haven't heard anything back. You guys should know, we talked to the people over at the Girl Fight, if you heard our rant yesterday. And apparently they want to shut us up, I guess. So maybe. Maybe we'll have something more to tell you about it. Maybe they'll convince us that it's not all bad, just the pictures are bad. All right. In that vein, those of you who have Nintendo, yes, we'll be happy to know Zia, and I'm hoping I'm saying that right, will be on the shelves March the 20th. Game Mill Entertainment is announced that Zia for DS hand... Yeah, I wish I could talk. I do wish I could talk. Is going to be on shelves on March the 20th. Stephen is really messing with you, Ginger.
Yeah!
From sandy beaches to deep blue seas, explore it all with fun and with a fun and silly hermit crab.
Wasn't my fault.
Yes, it was.
My fault. Corey did it.
Hermit crab characters in Zia the game. I'm going to tell you what he asked here in just a second. You get set out on dozens of missions, and along the way, meet kooky friends and unlock loads of secret rewards in the five unique worlds across 25 levels. Keep your eyes open. You must discover the hidden starfish in each world to move on to other adventures. With more than 30 collectible shells to uncover and 60 missed friends to seek out, Zia the game provides hours of fun for all ages. The game was developed by Black Lantern Studios, and it is rated E for everyone. You can check them out at game-mill.com. I believe I have put this up on the site, but I could be wrong. I have a whole blur thing that happened around 5 this morning, which is when they sent this. So I know I was looking at it, but I don't know if I put it up. Ginger, did I put it up?
Don't think so.
Well, in that case, then I will be putting it up, hopefully, in about the next 30 minutes. Okay, now Stephen said, wants to know, did she at least call me a utensil and not a sexually strange transmitted disease?
I'm sorry, did I call him a what?
A utensil and not a strange sexually transmitted disease. And he's also invented a name for... for what you've done to him. It's called PTGD, post-traumatic gender disorder.
I think I called you something between a spoon and a phone. My bad.
Hey, okay. We got time for at least one more.
One more. All right. I'm surprised you haven't picked this one up yet.
Is it definitely?
Yeah, it's related.
I'm trying to ignore it.
No, can't ignore it. Can't ignore it. Sims 3 Hidden Springs. I'm Destin of Youth. The Sims 3 Hidden Springs is now available on store shelves. Corey wants it. So uncover the magic in Hidden Springs. This about she's got me laughing too hard. Breathe. All right, so uncover the magic in Hidden Springs this Valentine's Day. The Sims 3 Hidden Springs, the highly successful downloadable world that was exclusively available through Sims 3 stores, can now be purchased from retail outlets across North America starting on February 14th, which is yesterday, folks, and across Europe beginning February 15th, which is today.
Ginger, why do you do this to me?
All right, so The Sims 3 Hidden Springs requires the Sims 3 base game in order for players to move their Sims into the new environment. The Sims 3 Hidden Springs works with any of the existing The Sims 3 expansion packs and stuffed packs and offers players new items to outfit their Sims with, including their Sims home and world. All right, so as a resort town, Hidden Springs is surrounded by beautiful mountains, a stunning lake, and a number of areas to relax within. There are new locales to explore and activities for Sims to engage in, such as visiting the Crystal Solarium Pool or the Redwood Heights Luxury Lodge. Players may find that their Sim is more interested in adventures and can uncover the mystery of the Fountain of Youth and find out the secrets of all the families who live in the town. You know, finding out secrets of everybody who lives in a town is a good thing. I'm pretty sure that's a good way to die. Yeah, it looks like there are lavish fireplaces, sleek and stylish tubs, romantic tennis, and... Oh, no, that was The Sims Master Suite. My bad. Yeah, so...
Oh, why do you do it to me? Why? Okay, we got to take a quick break, and Stephen would also like to say, oh, my God, Ginger's going to get me sued by George Lucas. Okay.
Think of the publicity, though.
And see, people, now you know why we are the greatest podcast on earth. We are live. You can't do this anywhere else. So make sure you keep it here. We're going to take a quick break. Unfortunately, we're going to go to streaming. You won't be able to hear us live, but we've gotten quite a few of you that said you want us for a full hour. So probably starting next week after I discuss with Ginger, because you know how to discuss it, we may go to a full hour for you lovely people out there, because we love you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I love you more than all.
Oops, I'm sorry, Ginger. I was trying to wait till you were done talking and hit the button. Like, I got an itchy mouse finger.
Runs my domain, release my pet, and you're gonna feel the pain. Check the scoreboard, and we even got a question. Farming HKs, yeah, this is my obsession. My spirit beats heads, a nasty bite like Britney babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I Rambo attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? Or just keep to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down, and there is no prevention. I'm asking, cause I gotta wonder. No. Get your ass kicked by a girl.
All right, we're on the other side.
Oh, and I'm muted, so you can't hear me go, yay!
It was so exciting sounding. Yay! Wow, I did not mean to hit stop. Okay, the vitamins have taken me over. I have a weird, very alert, sleepy thing going on. So, wow, really odd. All right, so I don't even know where to go. I've got a whole bunch of stuff that just came in. Some of you, what we tell you, when we say 11, we don't mean in your time zone.
Okay.
We mean in our time zone. So what will happen now is it's getting close to 12 our time, and people's like, oh, it's close to 11 my time. Now we'll send a GDR over their press releases. So I'm going to have to back it up and share with you what I just got in literally moments ago. Is Dungeon... You know what? You've already done this. Why are they sending it again?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, they sent it again. Why?
They wanted to make sure we got it.
Dungeon Defenders.
They're very excited.
Yeah, Dungeon Defenders, why you no work? Back to my original story then, because I'm
meme,
like,
since I'm saying it wrong, meme.
Meme. Well, there's another app that I just got in called Anti-Emoticons. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Yeah, they are animated visuals for email. They're on sale for Valentine's Day. What is it with you guys and the late stuff for Valentine's Day? And literally, it didn't come yesterday, late in the evening. It came this morning at 9:21, to be precise. Independent developer Dim Sum App are offering their fantastic entertainment app, Animoticons, for a discounted price of 99 cents. You compare to the regular price they offer at $1.99 for a limited time only. Beginning yesterday, you have the privilege and opportunity to download this entertaining app and its discounted offer for a limited time. Animoticons makes it possible to send multiple animated emoticons to all your friends through email or a single animated emoticon through SMS, MMS messaging. And with Animoticons, there is an animation for every occasion you can think of. The full version has an astounding 28 categories with more than 2,700 animated emoticons, while the light free version includes an incredible 10 categories listing more than 900 animated emoticons as well. The library of emoticons is huge, they say. Many emoticons are unique and funny and cannot be found in any other app in the App Store. Categories like Fox Ali, Monkey Yossi, Hard-Boiled
Monkey
Egg.
Monkey Yossi?
You heard me.
Right.
Hard-Boiled Egg, Maggie Land, Milky Boy, Onion Head.
Oh my God. So not commenting.
And Soldier Pee-Pee Bing are famous. And they can only be found in the full versions of Animoticons.
Oh,
I don't even want to know. With a simple and intuitive user interface, sending animated emoticons is only a few clicks away. With a large and growing collection of emoticons, this app will be your new best friend when it comes to sending funny and entertaining messages to everyone you know. What are you waiting for? Let the fun begin. Again, it is available now on the App Store. And they want to know if we... But I don't know if we want to try it out. I'll tell y'all. Let me look and see what you got over there first.
Yeah,
we like to do this
know. Here. We'll see.
We'll see what you got.
All right. So, looks like there's a new crowdsourcing in town. Well, maybe not so new. Gambitious offers crowdsourced funding solution for indie developers. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Forgive me if I'm having to mute myself because, oh my God, I'm going to lose my voice. I'm going to die. All right, so, although it was not inspired by Double Fine's ongoing Kickstarter success in funding an old-school point-and-click adventure game, Gambitious seems to be landing just in time to take advantage of a possible changing trend in funding game development. The company, which hopes to launch in March, is meant to help independent game developers find the revenues they need to fuel new ideas or continue ideas they have already found some level of success in. The biggest problem for crowdsourcing is it's really an untested idea for developers who aren't household names like Tim Schafer. Nevertheless, Gambitious plans to have a go at it. MD Paul Hanritz, and I probably said your name wrong, don't sue me. When developers register their project...
Let me see if I got him on Skype. I was like, oh, no.
No. know. She's so mean to me. Mm-hmm. All right, so when developers register their project at Gambitious, they are in full control. They indicate how much capital is required to fund their project and determine how much equity they offer in return. Then it is up to them to market their title and convince the investors who visit the platform. Again, anyone can invest, from as little as £20 for each investment unit to as much as £2,500,000. French cookies, I don't know. Little CSUN, I think that's pounds. All right, so using the same model as cookies.
Wait, that's going to be it now. It's going to be cookies.
The name for cookies. Yes. All right, so using the same model as Simbid, creatives can go to gambitious.com, pitch their idea, and get investment from various sources. Funding can come in small increments or large, assuming the idea is a solid one. All right, so is this, Henriks continues. For indie developers, it was deemed almost impossible to raise capital for new or existing game projects. The traditional publishers have seen their role dramatically change and have grown hesitant, if not reluctant. I'm going to lose my voice. Oh, I'm so tired. Yes. All right, so the traditional publishers have seen their role dramatically change and have grown hesitant, if not reluctant, in investing in new game franchises. Unfortunately, there are few alternatives to this traditional funding model. There is a strong need for a new innovative structures to begin indie game projects financially now more than ever. All right, that is crazy. Of course, as you know, they talked about was earlier this week and last week. Double Fine's adventure game Kickstarter is at $1,761,603 with 51,032 backers.
Who is this again that got that? Is that
Double Fine?
Double Fine. Oh, wow. I forgot. I think they still have 22 days left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see what they offer. Maybe I'll throw in my lot as well. Okay. I noticed I said my lot, not our lot. Which I should say our lot, but I didn't. All right. In competition, I'm thinking, or at least I think, with Hulu, you also have a commentary site called Bleacher Report that has launched a YouTube channel, and they are sports related. So they're going to be launching four new sports themed shows on its branded YouTube channel. The Bleacher Report's website is from over 1,000 columnists and 6,000 contributors that write commentary from a fan perspective. While the new shows will definitely utilize this fan mentality, it's also a feature high-profile names in sports and the entertainment world. The new Bleacher Report channel are part of YouTube's strategy to boost the amount of premium original videos available on the site and making it more than just a place to watch funny cat videos and viral content. In October, YouTube committed $100 million on channel partnerships to ensure that this strategy succeeds. Some of these channel partnerships include Madonna's Dance On, World Wrestling Entertainment's Fan Nation, and exclusive bits from the Onion News Network. More recently, YouTube forged deals to bring a variety of news-related channels to the site from partners like Reuters, Young Hollywood, and Penske Media Icon TV, as well as a new indie film fest channel in partnership with Ridley Scott. As for some of the shows themselves, here are a brief description of each by Bleacher Report news release. You have Bleacher Report, which is a daily dose of the five biggest, best, or most buzzworthy sports moments or stories of the day, featuring Desi Sanchez, who is from E! News Now and MTV as the host, going to be available 5 days a week. I'm giving you a brief rundown. You also have your NFL Draft 365, hosted by Alex Panos, HGTV's Run My Money, and SNY's Beer Money. It's going to be the first show of its kind to provide year-round coverage of the lightning rod for discussion and debate that is the NFL draft that some of you go nuts over. There's also Why We Watch, which is produced by Jim Foreman, Showtime champion boxing and ESPN Classic, Sarah Krieger, who's also from the Olympic Games, Amir Ebrahimi, Nacho Libre, yes, him, and Chris Patterson, Top Gear USA. Why We Watch is going to be short-form sports documentaries that talk about the hard times the athletes have. I'm sorry, I never think it's a Anyway, but I will say this, they are one of the first ones out of the box. It's going to be female auto racing pioneer Jenny Lusk and Robin Thicker. You also have the final show, Full Ride, is going to start in March. It's a weekly show serving information, opinions, and analysis about college football recruiting. It's going to be produced by Mark Cohn, who's the Heisman Trophy presentation from that and NFL Draft. going to focus on the big programs and five-star recruits that make the college football world turn, while uncovering diamonds in the rough that might push the next national championship contender over the top. Have you guys noticed something here? What's missing from the YouTube channel? There is still no media representation for gamers.
There isn't. There really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Keep that in your forefront. That's all we're going to say. Keep it in your forefront.
Yeah.
All right. We got 5 minutes. You got time for another ginger?
I do. I do. And I have, there's just so much going on today. Oh, my goodness. All right. So what have I got now? I have got Killing Floor. Here we go. Killing Floor.
Oh, Lord.
Bless her. Killing Floor breaks. You know? What?
No, that's one of his favorites. One of his, yeah, it's his favorite.
Well, he's in good company, apparently. Killing Floor breaks 1 million copies sold on the PC. Tripwire Interactive are thrilled to announce that Killing Floor has sold more than 1 million copies on PC, and it is still selling strongly. Strongly? Yeah, there we go. I don't know what I just said. So this is a major achievement for any game studio, as few games, even multi-million dollar AAA titles, ever sell over 1 million copies on PC. As a truly independent outfit who have funded ourselves all the way, we are particularly proud of the achievement. Our thanks go to all the developers of the Killing Floor mod and everyone on the team here at Tripwire Interactive, whose continued support has made the game such a huge success. We would also like to thank all of the members of the community who have made maps and other add-ons for the game with Killing Floor SDK. And most importantly, we offer thanks to all the fans and everyone who has bought the game over the past 2 years and helped make Killing Floor the cultural phenomenon that it is today. All right, so we got a couple of stats. 1.1 million copies of Killing Floor sold on PC in 2.5 years. Nearly 2 million Killing Floor DLC packs sold. 45 million hours of Killing Floor played to date. 440 million Zeds have been dispatched in achievements alone, including more than 250,000 Christmas Santas. Zeds are being killed by you at the rate of at over 20,000 an hour. Hundreds of custom maps have been created by the community. That is awesome. So, all right, I've got more information up on this, up on GamingNatrix.com. If you head over there and check it out, you can see all of this. I think I may have even put a trailer with it. I think, maybe.
Possibly. Ooh, yay. Woo. Did I sound so? I sounded so excited then. Woo, yay. All right, so we got 2 minutes, but I'm going to take this time to say we're going to go ahead and go because I got reviews galore.
Galore.
To write. I've been writing for the past 2 days, and then I got to get our T-shirts up on our market. You guys got to check out these T-shirts.
We've
yes. If you haven't been listening to the past few new cat, not just newscasts, but when we did Pixanista last night, which was dedicated to Valentine's Day, and not all in the happy, you know, lovely way, in case some of you were like, ugh, love sucks. Check it out last night. You'll know what's coming today. Yay.
Yes, yes. And visit our forums. We're curious, guys. Do you guys enjoy the Mean Girls that we want?
You know, you're telling that I think I took the forums offline.
My bad.
Y'all know, that site is in a constant state of flux to make it better. So some things I take offline. So you may be like, where was my blah, blah, blah place? Yeah, come back. I try to, you know, make it better. I don't like it. It's got to be perfect. Anyway, we are out of here. We will see you guys tomorrow, and you'll get us twice.
Tomorrow.
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, a voice here, the tremor of cold, the feminine of the sun, reaching my threshold, staring at the streets of the blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, spilling out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold, staring at the streets of the blind.
Later, boys and girls.